feel like the Lord blessed the prayer to express the things that I know were on my heart and give the Lord the praise for that. And we get instruction even from the words that are spoken to the Lord when we're blessed to pray along with a brother. We hear so much of the gospel in the prayers of God's little children. So many of the hymns that we sing are really prayers if you look at them closely. And they speak to the Lord expressions of thanksgiving and praise. And from those hymns, we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We speak the gospel. We speak the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that is certainly my desire as I stand before you this morning, that I'd be faithful to do that, that I would not stray from the truth or stray from the message of Christ, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's a simple message. It's that which a little child can understand. If the Lord gives that little child an ear to hear it, and an eye to see it, and a heart to understand it. And yet, in its simplicity, it's hidden from the wise and prudent, and it's revealed unto babes. And it's the Father's good pleasure that it be that way, so that we're not coming today dependent upon ourselves, but we must depend upon the Lord. And I know you agree with me. It's a whole lot better to depend upon the Lord than it is for us to depend upon ourselves, no matter what we're doing, especially when it comes to the house of God and how we're to worship the Lord. I want to come wholly dependent today upon the Lord. And I hope and pray that each of us can do that. Trust in the Lord. And we know whenever we've trusted in the Lord, we've not been sorry we did that. It's always been a blessing for us. We'll never leave trusting the Lord ashamed that we did it. We'll never be sorry that we did it. We'll be sorry many other times and maybe ashamed many other times, but not when we trust in the Lord. So together today, let us trust in the Lord. Let us look to Him for the preaching that we stand in need of, that He would give me what I need and give you what you need to hear. And He knows that better than I can pretend to know it, or you can even imagine, or tell me about it. So we're dependent upon the Lord. I'd like to read to you from the writings of the Apostle Paul. Thankful for the Bible. Thankful that we have it. Encourage you to read it and study it. I want to do that more and more in my life. In the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, we tried to speak yesterday at our conference meeting for a little while from a middle part of this chapter. I want to look at the first part this morning, beginning at verse 1 and read down through verse 10. Very familiar language that I'm sure you've read many, many times and heard many times. And yet, it is a great, great comfort to know this truth if the Lord will bless us to see it. He says in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, pins this down. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The apostle says, we know something. And what a blessing today to be able to know something, to know some things that the Bible gives us to know. If it were not for God's grace, we could not know it, would not know it. Now, the knowledge that we're talking about is not a complete knowledge. It's not a knowledge without doubt or knowledge without any unknowns. It's knowing in part. As long as we're in this world, we'll have some knowledge, but we'll never know in this world what we will know once we're with the Lord in glory. We'll never know it as well here as we will over there. That's one of the great blessings about being over there. And one of the things we do groan for and do desire after, to know as we're known. And that will occur for every little heir of promise, for every little child of grace. And that should give us consolation. And it also should give us some help and comfort to know the condition that we're here, that we're in here in this world. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. Now, what he's talking about is the body. He's talking about where you live, where your abode is. And that there is coming a dissolving of that, a dissolution of that, a time when the body is going to decay and going to be done away. You and I are not going, like the little boy told me, I don't want to burst your bubble, but you and I are not going to live forever. You know how often we live like we're going to live forever? A whole lot of the time. When you think you don't do that, but and there are many of our actions and behaviors that we act like we're going to live forever. You worry about some things that you wouldn't worry about if you understood you're not going to live forever. You're concerned about a whole lot of things that you wouldn't be as concerned about if you understood you're not going to live forever. The Bible clearly tells us that man that is born of woman is of few days and he is full of trouble. Now, he uses this little if, not that maybe you might not, but that if, the if here is not that maybe you're going to die, maybe you won't die. It's an if that says, you know, it's going to happen. Now, there is a possibility that we'll bypass that, and I'm thankful for that. You see, there is something that's an absolute reality from the Bible, is that there's a point in a man, a time, a want to die. We know that. And the exception to that is if the Lord would return, which would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? I heard a preacher one time standing in the pulpit, and he said, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm not wanting to die and go to the undertaker and have him take care of me. I'd rather have the upper taker. I'd rather have the Lord return. And that would be a wonderful thing today. Nothing could be better in this meeting than to have the Lord come and hear the shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, and be caught up and we'll meet the Lord in the air and have all of that take place. What a glorious thing it would be for the Lord to return. Now, I hope every one of us here today are happy when we think about the Lord's return and not scared to death when we think about the Lord's return. You know, there's churches filled today with people who are being scared to death about the Lord's return. That the Lord's coming, and you better do this, better do that, better get this done, better get that done. You better be ready when He returns, because He's coming, and they're motivated by fear to serve the Lord. And the Bible never teaches us to motivate God's children by fear, but we're to draw them by the cords of His love, and we're to tell them about a God who loves them and the love of God. Now, is the Lord returning? Absolutely. He's coming. But every little child of grace has nothing to fear about His coming, because when He comes, everything that's messed up, He'll make right. He'll correct it. All the stuff that's in us that isn't the way it ought to be will be corrected. We'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We'll be made and fashioned like unto Him, prepared for heaven. The one who has prepared a heaven will also prepare us for heaven. Isn't that good news? It would be something to have heaven prepared, and you've got to get it ready. You've got to get yourself ready to get there. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it was up to me to get myself ready to go to heaven, the only thing that will ever get into heaven is perfect things. And I found everything that I've ever done in my life to have imperfections about it. More than I even want to talk about or think about. And to think about me having to get all of these things ready in order to have myself ready, when the Lord comes, I'd be accepted with Him. The Bible says that none of us, by our own works, will be justified before God, which means we cannot get our lives fixed up. If I could start today and get it fixed up, what about all the mess I've got in the past? I don't have the capability of going back and fixing one thing. Somebody said if I could go back and fix things, I wouldn't change a thing. I would. I've got all kinds of things I wish I could change and correct about my life. My life is filled with them. And I say to you, there are many of them that I don't even know about that I would have been much better off going in another case. The Bible talks about secret sins. That is those that I don't even know about that He knows about. Of things where I should have done this and I did other things. I believe there's coming a day where we'll know all those things and not grieve about them, but be thankful of a God who's able to take our sins and remove them far from us, as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us anymore. Because Jesus took those sins off of us, and He who knew no sin was made to be sin. Not just took our sins, but He became and was made to be sin. My sins and your sins and the sins of every one of His elect children were taken from them and placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. He was made to be sin for us. And at Calvary, the judgment of God was satisfied. The payment was made. Jesus said, "It's finished." I want you to believe it. I want to believe it. I want to preach it. I want to teach that to God's little children so that you and I are not scared to death about His return. Because when we stand before the Lord, we won't stand alone. We'll have a friend. We'll have an advocate. We'll have one who stood in our room instead at Calvary. And the things we deserved, He bore. And the things He earned and merited, He's given to us freely by His grace. So not only did He take our sins away, but He clothed us in His righteousness. So that when you stand before the Lord in that judgment, you'll stand in the... Get this. You'll stand not just the way you can get it fixed up, but in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sins removed from you. All those things you want to be undone, you can't undo. All the things you wish you had done different, that you can't change. All the things that right now, this day, bother you, don't they? That you wish you didn't have this. You wish you didn't have this battle. You wish you didn't have this stubbornness. You wish you didn't have this attitude. You wish you didn't have this hatred sometimes that mounts up in you. You wish you didn't have that anger. You wish you could be better. You're groaning, desiring for a time where I can live right, act right, talk right without sin being mixed with all that I do. And in my very best efforts here, I still feel like the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death?" The answer to that is I thank my Lord through Jesus Christ. See, that's why Jesus sounds so good to you. I hope He sounds good to you today. I hope the Savior of sinners, the friend of sinners, the elder brother, the one who's the author and the finisher of our faith, I hope that message of grace sounds good to you. So that when you hear of His coming, you're not afraid of it, you're excited about it. When you hear of heaven, You're not sitting there thinking, oh, how can a sinner like me ever be there? You understand the way that a sinner like you and like me could ever be there is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It isn't my work that prepared me for heaven. It isn't me who prepared heaven. He's the one who made heaven, and He's the one who made people fit to go there. And if He didn't do it, it won't get done. Hear me. If it's up to you and me to get it done, none of us will get it done. Somebody say, well, if you'll just believe, you'll get it done. Listen, that means I'd have to keep believing. And listen, I should believe, absolutely. And there are blessings in believing. It's honoring to God to believe. But I'm telling you, there's enough unbelief in every one of us that if it was based on that, we would be lost and undone without hope in this world. Our salvation depends on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without one thing added to that, nor anything taken from that, it's what God has done. And I'm telling you, when you think about it that way and understand the truth of that, that's a reality whether you believe it or embrace it or not. If you're a little child of God, whatever you believe or embrace doesn't change the reality. As a little child of God, you were known by the Father, given to the Son died for you, the sin debt's been paid, your sins have been removed, including the sin of unbelief, as far away from you as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you anymore. And because of that, you don't have to be afraid about dying. And you don't have to be afraid about bypassing death in the coming of the Lord. When He comes, we're going to be changed. And that's what He's writing about. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. I want to say to you today, this old earthly tent, this old earthly house is falling apart, and one day we're going to be done with it as far as this world is concerned. The book of Genesis says it was taken from the dust, and it's going to do what? It's going to return to the dust. It's not going to stay there forever, but it's going to be there for a while. And then the Lord who bought and paid for this body is going to come and take that body. It's the part of earth that's going to be in heaven one day. It's you are of the earth, earthy. But there is a part of earth that's going to be in heaven one day. And I'm telling you, it won't be in the corruptible state that it's in now. It won't be in the mortal state that it's in now. It won't even be in the flesh. It's not just a fleshly state that it's going to be in. It's going to be spiritual, but it will be the same body. This body, which is sown in weakness, will be raised in power. This body, which is laid down, is the same body that's going to come forth, but it's going to come forth in a glorified manner, fashioned like unto His glorious body. What this is saying is when we die, there's a place God's little children go. And that place is prepared for them by God. Boy, that's a wonderful, a blessing. That's a, brothers, sisters, that's a blessing for us to be able to share with God's little children. He says, for we know, this is something we know, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, if my body would give out, and it's going to give out at some point, and my spirit and soul depart from my body, it doesn't just go to sleep somewhere. It says we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There's a place prepared for God's children. Is that good news to you this morning, that there's a place prepared for God's children, that when our bodies give out, when our bodies fail, and they're going to fail. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, just 1,000 years as a day. And over in Psalms 90, if you read in the middle of that, our life is like a tale that is told. If we have 70 years, and by reason of health we have 80 years. That seems like a long time, but I'm learning by experience it's not so long. These young people, I know a day seems like forever. And I know, especially at your school, and you're sitting there and you got the teacher teaching you, an hour can seem like ages. I know how that can be. And believe it can be that way for the teacher as well. And I know it takes I know you may feel like that, but I'm telling you, I remember a time as a young man, just seems like yesterday. I was sitting as a young man listening, thinking, oh, is he going to keep preaching? Is he going to keep on going? Is he going to ever stop? I've been there. I know how that feels. I also know in a blink of an eye, next thing you know, there were children in the house and young ones there, and you're married. I remember those wonderful times, and I thought, boy, And some of them, I thought, are we going to get through this? Are we going to make it? Are we going to get by and get all in that? The next thing you know, they're grown and you got grandchildren, or you got you know, all of those things in your life, and then you go and you think, oh, and you worry about things that are really not very important, and you miss so many things that are so important. And I want to encourage us to remember this: one day the Lord's coming. We're not going to live forever. Enjoy the day that the Lord has given you. There's blessings in it. But we're not living for here. There's a place that we're designed to live, and it, let me put it this way, it ain't here. Nope. There's a place better for God's little children. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't care about that. We wouldn't be longing for that. We wouldn't believe that. We'd think such talk is folly. We'd think that was foolishness. But I know right now that you believe that there's a place called heaven that He prepared. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And if it were not so, I would not have told you. You believe that. And that place, according to the Apostle Paul, is we have a building of God. Now, some people think that's the finality of the resurrected body, and in the fullness of it, that's going to be the case. But that is not just that doesn't happen right away. When the body it breaks down and it no longer and it dies as a result of sin. And somebody said, "Well, you don't want to put sin in there." Well, I have to put sin in there, because if it had not been sin, God didn't make a mess when He made our body. A fine architect made our body. You look at our bodies. There's been no house built like the human body. There's been no place that's been designed like the human body. You go break up, go hammer into a wall at your house and wait for it to heal itself, and you'll have a hole in the wall, and it'll stay there. I'll tell you what, I picked a little splinter out of my finger this morning and thought, what a wonderful thing. I wouldn't even known that splinter was there if I hadn't had some pain to let me know that it was there. And if I hadn't have done something about it, getting it out of there, it would have festered up and caused maybe me to lose a finger. But the Lord has designed my body to point out a little problem that's going on. Sometimes we don't like pain, but it's there for a reason, isn't it? And the body is designed to let you know something's wrong. And then you deal with it. And then, but I don't want a hole to stay in my finger where I picked that splinter out. And you know what's wonderful? God's designed this body to heal. Except it doesn't heal like it was exactly designed to do, because of something that entered into the picture in the very beginning. And we believe that from the Bible. In the beginning, what happened? Man fell into a state of sin, and our body started falling apart. And that's why this old tabernacle of clay is not going to hold up forever. Otherwise, it wouldn't have died. But sin entered into the picture. And somebody says, why does my hip hurt? Sin. Why is my back aching? Sin. Why is it that my eyes don't work as good as they used to? It's sin. And as we grow in our lives, sin continues to accumulate in our lives, and we see the effects of that. And eventually, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And that's God's righteous judgment. The wages of sin is death. He said, in the day thou eatest of thereof, thou shalt surely die. Somebody said Adam didn't die. Well, in a sense, he died. He died in a sense that he was spiritually dead. He did not. He fell into a state of death in trespasses and in sins. And in Adam, we all died. Every one of us died. And physically, he began to die at that very moment. And eventually, sin was finished with Adam. And that tabernacle of clay was laid aside. It was dissolved. When his earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved. And the earthly house, you can see in the earthly house the wonderful design of Almighty God, but you can see in the tabernacle, which is basically a tent. It's a tent is what? It's not designed to be there very long. You put it down, and then you pull it up. And that's where we are. So you're just in a tent. You're living in a tent. Like the old song, one of the hymn, one song that this old house, is this old house isn't getting any better. We don't sing it, but it's this old house is breaking up. It's falling apart. It needs some painting. Your body is falling apart. But here's good news. Listen, we weren't designed to live here. We're designed to live over there. And there's a day coming when we're going to be. Not only is it prepared for us, but we'll be prepared for it. Isn't that good? That's what he's saying here. He's saying, for we know, my eyes gotten big, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, I'm thankful it's gotten big. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There is a place called heaven. There is a heavenly abode. There is a place that dear brother John is enjoying, and little sister Betty is enjoying, and brother Carol Newman is enjoying, and my grandmama is enjoying, and all of God's little children that have gone on that belong to Him are enjoying today. Listen, it's not just a place we sing about. It's a place that's real. We sing about it because it's real. And I'm telling you that they were prepared for that place, and He prepared that place for them. And He says, as a house not made with hands. It's not made with hands. Mama didn't make it. Daddy didn't make it. We didn't build it. The God of heaven built it. And I'm telling you, He designed it. In the very beginning of time, it was made from the foundation of the world. He designed it so that it would house God's little children. There's a place that He's prepared for us. And He began the preparation for us being there before the very foundation of the world. He knew who His children were. And in covenant, before the foundation of the world, He gave them to His Son. And the Son willingly came here into this world and died for His children, washing them in His own precious blood. And in time, the Holy Spirit comes in our hearts and gives us the earnest of the Spirit so that you and I can know something about it. Isn't that good? That you can know something about it? He said, for in this we groan. There is a burden on the heart of every little child of God, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Now, this isn't a desire to die. It's a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. It's a desire to leave this old troubled world where sin plagues me, where sin bothers me and troubles me. It's a desire to be free from the aches and the pains and the troubles and the problems and the cares of life, and to be at that place the Lord's designed us to be at, and to be in the fullness of the work of the Almighty God. Today, you and I at best see through a glass darkly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it tells us about that which is perfect that is to come, that now we see through a glass darkly. Oh, we're talking about heaven today, but how good can we see it? It's like looking through a shaded glass. We talk about Jesus, but how glorious can we see Him? It's like looking through a shaded glass. Sometimes we see beautiful images, and we're so thankful for that. But isn't it wonderful to be able to think about what Sister Fanny Crosby said in her hymn, when I can see Him face to face, when I see Him without a shaded glass in between, and when I can see His glorious face and be in His very presence. Oh, what a day that will be. We're in the glorious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll know everything that He's done for us and be able to praise Him and honor Him and glorify Him. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And for if we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, not that we would just die. If to be unclothed is to have the spirit and the soul separated from the body and just have no place to be, it would be a sad thing to think about that. There are some people who believe that the spirit and the soul just go into a state of sleep, and that they're sleeping at death. And rather than being with the Lord at the moment of death, they're just sleeping. Now, that wouldn't be better if we were sleeping. What the truth is, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And He says that for us here. He said, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now He that had wrought us for the self same thing is God. And that says that He made us to be with Him in glory. He not only prepared the place, He prepared us for the place. Oh, if we had to do that for ourselves, which of us would do it? That Bible says there's none. No man would come to Him. No man would look to Him. When He came to us, we weren't looking for Him. We were dead in trespasses and in sins when He quickened us. His Spirit came into our hearts. We were dead and He made us alive and gave us a tongue to be able to praise Him and faith to be able to believe in Him. And that is the only way we can walk by faith today, is because of what He's done for us. He says this, "Now He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." God has put a little foretaste of this in your heart in the work of regeneration. Have you found being among God's people is like a little heaven here below? The friendship and the fellowship you have with God's children is like a little heaven here below. To be able to sit and hear the gospel preached is like a little heaven here below. You've sat in congregations and sang hymns, and chills seems to come over you. Goosebumps, you know, somebody called them spirit bumps, but they're little bumps that would come out on you because you would feel the wonderful presence of the Lord. It is seeing Him face to face, it is seeing Him through a glass darkly. Oh, how wonderful it is to be able to experience that. Can you even imagine for a moment what it would be like to have that in fullness? To be able to really see and know everything that He's done for us. When you hear the gospel and hear what He's done for you, it gives you a great peace in your heart. What will it be like to really know everything that He's done for you, and the degree that He did it, and the fullness that He did it in, and how His handprint has been upon our lives every single day from the very moment, as we're told in Psalm 139, from the time we were formed and fashioned in our mother's womb, the hand of the Lord has been upon our life. And that's a wonderful, glorious truth. He says, "He hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." As long as we're content with being here, we're absent from the Lord. That doesn't mean the Lord isn't with us. It doesn't mean He hasn't watched over us. I believe the Lord is with us today. I don't believe we're absent from Him in that He's not here. I'm just saying to you, as long as we're here, we'll not see Him in the fullness that we will see Him once we're with Him. While we're here, we'll not know Him in the closeness. We talked a little bit this morning about how it is wonderful in your life to be able to realize each day when you get up in the morning, the Lord is there with you. And that's why we should pray. And to pray, "Lord, be with me." When we get out of the bed, "Lord, be with me." When you're facing a trouble in your family, "Lord, be with us." When you got a thing on the job, say, "Lord, be with us." And you're looking to Him and you feel His presence. And when you get there and you see if things are better, you say, "Thank you, Lord, because I know it wouldn't have been like this if it had not been for you being with me." And recognize the truth of the matter that the Lord never leaves one of His children for a single moment. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Listen, He's closer than a brother, and you can always depend and trust in Him. Whether you're young or whether you're old, if you know the Lord, it's because He's given you that knowledge in your heart. And you can lean upon Him and depend upon Him. And you will find Him to be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, not only now, but every single day of your life. And yet our very best here is still seeing through a glass darkly. And you know how good you feel when the Lord allows you to feel His presence. How good a good meeting is. How good a sweet time of fellowship with the brethren is. How good it is when you feel the Lord's answer to prayer, and He's come to you in a moment where you really truly needed Him. And He's given you things that you just know had to come from Him. And you can say, "Thank Thee, Lord." What a blessing it is when He allows you to see it. And you can just thank the Lord for all that He has done for you. And I'll tell you, if that's wonderful now, what must it be? You know, that's what the hymn writer meant when it said, what must it be to be there? What must it be? To feel His presence here is a great blessing, but what must it be to be there? He says, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Today, you and I need faith as we walk here in this world. We have to depend upon the Lord. We don't go on that which is seen, but that which is unseen. We go on faith. We're trusting and believing in the Lord. You know, when we get to heaven, we won't need that faith. We will be able to see Him face to face. We won't have to trust. We won't have to hope. We'll be able to know what He has done, and we'll not know it in part. We know it in part now because of the earnest of the Spirit, but oh, what a day it'll be when we'll know as we are known, when that which is perfect is come. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he uses this language. In verse 12, he says, "For now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And I believe the reason that charity is the greatest of these three is that faith is for here in this world. We won't need that when we get home to glory. We won't need to trust or believe in Him. We'll see Him. We'll know Him as He is known. We'll have perfect sight, if you will. And he says, hope. Here we hope for things. We're trusting and believing. But over there we won't need hope any longer because we'll have what we have hoped for. We'll be in the presence of the Lord. And he says, charity. Charity will live on. And we sing that hymn. Charity. Oh, faith and hope are gone, but charity will live on. The reason that hymn is pretty is because it comes right from the book. It's in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That means God's little children, when they're in the right mind, are not afraid of death. As a matter of fact, there is a sense in which we long for it. Now, I don't mean long for it in the sense that we just want to die. You know, when I'm getting sick, I told you about my doctor's appointments. I'm not just going to say, well, it doesn't matter. There's a part of our own nature that wants to live, that we don't want to be unclothed. But there is a desire in our hearts, in the spiritual man, to be, isn't it a desire for us to be rid of all of the pain and the agony and the hatred and the sin that's so troubled in this world, and to be at that place where all will be right and good, that is prepared for us by the Lord, to be with Him. As the Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he was torn betwixt two. There was a part of him that desired to remain and be with the brethren and be with his family and those kinds of things. But then there was another part that desired to be with the Lord in fullness, and which he said, which is far, far better. He says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The spirit and the soul, once it departs the body, goes immediately into the very presence of the Lord in that house not made with hand that is eternal in the heavens. And it is awaiting, the spirit and the soul are awaiting the resurrection of the body, because it will not be fully consummated, complete, until there is a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit and everything that the Lord died for. And that's the beauty of the resurrection and the doctrine of the resurrection, that the Lord will have us. That which is sown will be raised again, and He'll have it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast down. And he's going to raise it up again at the last day. That is the body. And there'll be a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, eternal in the heavens. And he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, time's gone. Past gone, I'm sorry. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now what does that mean? That means that right now you and I desire and should desire above everything else. Not that I shouldn't as a minister desire that I please you. I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to hurt you. But my main concern should not be that I'm accepted by you. And your main concern is not to be accepted by me. And our main concern is not to be accepted by one another. But our main concern ought to be, and what's in the best interest of God's children ought to be, being accepted of the Lord. That is, that what we are doing is pleasing to the Lord. And believe me, we have one. We must appear before We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That means when I live my life, I am answerable to the judge of all judges, to the king of all kings. I am, my life is naked and open before him with whom I have to do. And that is the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I must give an answer to him. He is my constant, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment judge. And that ought to cause us not to be afraid, be thankful we have such a friend to judge us, but be aware that it is important. Somebody might say, well, if I believe what you believe, I just go live any old way and act any old way because grace is going to take care of it. Listen, if you've really been touched by the grace of God, you don't want to live and act and behave in any old way. You want to do things that are pleasing to your Lord and your Master, and you recognize that I can please everybody, but if I don't please him, I'm going to be in trouble. And if I please him and everybody else is upset, I'm going to be okay. And if we can live that way, if a preacher will preach that way, he'll be a benefit to the church. If the membership treat one another that way, we'll be a benefit to one another. If we please the Lord, we don't have to worry about it. That's all you have to worry. Isn't that making life pretty simple? Just, you know, if you're living your life trying to please everybody, let me say this about it. You're miserable, aren't you? Because I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll fail. Because you'll never make everybody happy. You'll never please everybody. And you become so fickle because one minute you're doing this and one minute you're doing that, and those things are so inconsistent and contrary one to another. You know what happens when you please the Lord? You're always on the right track. You're very consistent. You're following the things. Now, will we ever do that all the way? No, but that ought to be my desire. That ought to be my want to, because I stand before Him. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He had done, whether it be good or bad. And if it were not for the grace of God, I'm telling you where we'd be when we stand before the great judge. There wouldn't be one good thing about any of us. And if we have any good, what can we say? It is God who worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Apologize for taking the overtime, but nonetheless. Well, nobody was quite asleep yet. Well, maybe one or two. No, I won't mention. God bless you. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.